You know, I said I would, but I was just sitting there listening. I kind of wanted to expound a little bit on what we talked about last week about being a disciple. Scott had a great message, a great word, and it encouraged each one of us about stepping out and being what God's called us to be, man. About taking hold, you know? About being the disciple that He's called us to be. Walking in the fruits of the Spirit, walking in our giftings the way He's called us to do it. And being sold out to Him. Quit pussyfooting around. You know? I mean, we go after things with such gusto in this world. Why don't we run after our Lord and Savior the same way? You know? Why don't we take hold of the promises that we have in His Word? Why do we live defeated, dejected lives? The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know? I'm going to get as guilty as anybody. I'm preaching myself. What's holding us back? What's holding us back? What's holding us back from being a disciple? Because if you take that, what he taught out of in Luke 9, if you take it out of the context, he is talking to believers right there. He's talking to his apostles. He's talking to all those. He just fed the 5,000. He's talking to all these people. And he said, if you would come after me. So you can be a believer and not be a disciple. You can. Your name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you're in heaven. But you're not walking in the will of God. You're not walking in full obedience to God. That's what the call is on us. And tonight I want to talk about what this men's group was founded on, and that's discipling other men. Well, you can't disciple somebody else if you're not a disciple yourself. Amen? Well, what holds us back from doing that? You know, when God first called me to teach and preach the Word, there was one verse that kept popping off in my head. And it was James 3:1, and it says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And man, I just kept sounding like an alarm in my head. And I was like, Lord, I really don't want to. I appreciate it and all, but you know, I'm going to pass on this one. But it just kept, man, it's like Jeremiah. You know, that fire was inside of me, and I couldn't hold back from it. And that being said, I want to read this other verse. Because it's... It's imperative. It's imperative that we know the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And I want us to understand this because this speaks to all of us. We're all teachers. You better be teaching your kids, as Tim talked about. You better be teaching them something. You better be teaching them about the Lord. They watch everything we do. And what are they watching? What, are they being built up? Are they being encouraged? Or does the words that come out of their mouth, is it all downtrodden? You know, are you speaking words of life into them? Or words of destruction? Are you yelling at them all the time? Are you encouraging them, lifting them up? We need to rebuke our children when they're wrong, but we need to encourage them. We're all called to be spiritual leaders. That's what we talk about in this group all the time. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the Word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. You know, I often, a lot of Paul's epistles at the end, or throughout him speaking, he would say, imitate me. If you need a fleshly counterpart here on the face of the earth to see what it's like to live a Christ-centered, Holy Ghost-filled life, imitate me. Imitate me. That's all you got to do. And I remember reading that going, man, Paul was bold. Man, I like that. And I was like, but I'm just not really quite there yet. The Lord's been speaking to me lately, and He said, you better get there. You're a teacher. You're a preacher. You better be able to tell anybody that you're teaching or preaching to, you can imitate me. It's okay. And we say, we fall victim in the body of Christ right now. We got all these little cliches we like to say. It's not about me. It's very much about every man in this room. If we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, if our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is about every one of us. It's about us. It's about the decisions we make. It's about the words we speak to our spouses, to our children. Do we encourage them? Do we love on them? Do we treat them with gentleness? It's very much about us, man. We can't play that. We can't play that. Are you recording me?
Yeah.
We can't play that bullshit game no more. We can't play that game no more. It's time to be sold out. What do we really believe? What do we really believe? You know? Well, we can gather here every Wednesday night and we can pat each other on the back and go, man, that was a great word. Man, all right, guys. But are we producing any fruit in our lives? Are we producing any fruit? And I'm not talking about ministry. I'm not talking about going here and there. I could care less about that. What are we doing in our house? That's our ministry. Okay? What are we doing in our house? What are we doing in our home? What type of fruit are our children producing? You know? What are we doing? And can you tell them to imitate me? Can you tell your wife? Can you tell your kids? Imitate me. I'm not there yet. I want to be. I'd love to be up here and stand for you like a self-righteous hypocrite, say I'm there. You remember what I just said a minute ago? I'm not there. I get fired up and I let fly, man. I'm like I'm back in the Marine Corps. But I just, you know, we persevere so much through so many things in life. Why do we tuck tail and run when it comes to the Lord? You know, as the mayor said right there, 7-8 grand, I bet you'd be lucky to have 7-800. Really? That's nut-cutting time then. My old junior high football coach used to say, you know.
Well, I see what it'd be. It'd be like when you look at the who's preaching that Sunday, if it's a guest preacher, and you go, oh, well, we'll skip there. You know. Oh, so-and-so's coming in? We'll skip. You know. If they said, hey, look, everybody's going to go out and minister to everybody else, they'd be like, we ain't going to do that. We're going to stay in.
Don't hide out. But, you know, do we really believe it? Because if we really believe it, we should share it. I mean, we really need to think about what we profess as Christians. We believe that this Creator created this world, and He came back and died on a cross for us, and was resurrected from the dead. When we die, we're going to be in heaven. That's nuts. Okay? And if you truly believe that, you're nuts. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're nuts, you should have no problem sharing your faith. Right?
Amen.
I mean, it's pretty basic stuff. It really just comes down to the fact, do we really believe? You know? Jesus Christ said you can sum up everything. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The whole word. You know? I'm amazed by Paul. I love Paul. Paul was a Pharisee amongst Pharisees, which means he had that memorized, word for word, the whole Old Testament, all the prophets. And he says, I choose to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All this knowledge, all this revelation, all this learning. But he knew what the foundation that you had to build upon was. Are we building upon that foundation? Are we building it? Is it evident in our life? Are our homes built upon that foundation? You know? What are we building on? Are we being the leaders that we're called to be? And that doesn't mean we're not going to screw up. We're going to. But we need to repent. We need to apologize to our wives. When we treat them shamefully, when we talk to them in a way we ought not talk to them, we need to apologize to them. When we talk to our kids in a way we ought not talk to them, we need to apologize to them. Sorry, baby. Daddy was wrong. I shouldn't have screamed at you like that. I wasn't right. God don't want me to behave in a manner like that. Which means we got to humble ourselves, right? Why do we have such a problem with being humble? You know what I think? It's because we talk about in the church all the time, accepting Jesus Christ. I don't see anywhere in the Word about accepting Jesus Christ. You know, we paint this picture where all you got to do is accept Him. Just accept. You know, okay, I accept it. Yeah, sure, I accept it. Was He going to give me all this wealth, health, and wisdom? Man, that's great. I see a lot in the Word about repenting. About coming before a holy God with a broken and a contrite spirit, face out on the floor saying, please forgive me. That's what the prodigal son did, wasn't it? Shane talked about that last week, remember? That's what the prodigal son did, wasn't it? Anybody know that story? I know it's a very seldom taught upon chapter in the Bible. I think we had it, what, about 2 years straight? Well, that's all we taught from. Amen. That's all we knew. Hey, we're singing it, wasn't it?
He brought a robe and a ring.
That's right. Man. But you know what? You know what, guys? If we really have a heart for the lost, we'll share the gospel with them. If we have a heart for the lost, we'll share the gospel with them. If we love people, we'll share the gospel with them. If we don't like them and we don't care if they burn in hell, then we'll just keep our mouth shut. And really, that's what it boils down to. We can sugarcoat it, pansy foot around all we want to, but that's what it boils down to. A lack of love for either our God or our fellow man. So which is it? Which is it? Right? I'm a black and white kind of guy, man. I don't like a whole lot of frills and all that mess. black and white. Either we love him enough to do it or we won't.
You know, I think, for me, I think sometimes I'm just being all, throwing all honesty out there. You know, some days I feel bold enough to approach the stranger in the street, and then there's other days where I feel like it's going to be rejection. I don't want to do it because I'm going to get rejected. And I don't fall through because I think, not every day, but some days I fear rejection.
Amen.
I think that's part of for me.
Amen.
And, you know, I need to get past that.
Well, we all do. And we all struggle.
Some days I am past that, but some days, for whatever reason, at that time, it's like,
we get focused on ourselves,
don't
we?
Maybe another day.
Mm-hmm. That's what I do. I get focused on myself. You know, and I lose a lot of chances for ministry because I'm sitting there thinking about this in my head. God, what's your will for me to do today? You know, and I'm struggling, I'm pissed off, and I'm mad at God about this because this ain't working out. And somebody comes up and they need to hear the gospel, but I don't share it because I'm consumed with myself. Consumed with selfishness. Thoughts of my mind are about me all the time. And I'm like, you know, 2 hours later, Lord speaks. Like, hey, idiot. Just missed a good opportunity there to share Jesus Christ with somebody. You know, and that leads into this. You know, after the son came home, the prodigal returned. It says his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. Is that us sometimes in the church? Be angry if we see some of them folks from across the tracks come in our church. Them folks that got different color skin than what we got. Them folks that look different, got tattoos and piercings. Be angry. Man, we don't need them in our church. There's another church up the road. I've heard people say it. Heard it. Awful quiet, ain't it? But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father and said, look, I want you to listen to this. Verse 29. I want you to listen to what I'm about to read. I want you to tell me what sounds odd about it. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. I, me. Right? His focus was on himself. Now, this is a son that never left the father's house. But he didn't have the father's heart, did he? You might have been in church your whole life, but you don't know the Lord. You lost his ball of high weeds. Being in church is a good place to be, but it doesn't assume your place in heaven. Amen? This guy was at the father's house the whole time. But he didn't have his heart. Obviously, right? He's focused on himself. His brother came home. His name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life now. He's passed from death into life. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. Man, that's very dangerous ground there, man. You know, when we start walking in a way where we take up the role of the devil and we become the accuser of the brethren. That's what the Word says Satan is. He's the accuser of the brethren. When we play his role with our brothers, that's walking on some bad ground there, ain't it? Amen?
Amen.
You know, we grow up being men, and it's all a competition. Be first. Do best. Do best at everything. Football, baseball, grades. Pick your poison. You need to out-excel everybody you're against. Right? That's what I was told, right? Winning's what matters. Nothing else matters, right? But yet, then we come into the body of Christ, it becomes not about us. It becomes about everybody else. It's hard, isn't it? How do you take that competition from the world where you strove your whole career to be the best at what you've done, to be successful at business, to be successful in your field of endeavor? How do you walk down that path and then you say it's not about me? And focus on your brother. You see what I'm saying? That's when you become a disciple. That's when you're discipling others. When your prayer is not about you all the time, and I need, and I need, and I need, but Lord, please bless this ministry. Please bless this person. Please bless this person. That's when we're beginning to walk in discipleship, right? We're focused on other people, not praying about ourselves all the time. That'd be a good step for that one. We're not in competition with one another, brothers. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's His kingdom. It ain't ours. You know? But I think we fall victim to that a lot in the body of Christ. We're in competition with one another. Who can bring a better word than this person? Who can pray better than this person? Who can sing better than this person?
The world teaches you the greatest is whoever comes in first, and Jesus teaches you the greatest is least.
Amen. You know, I got a book at home. Mark Hall wrote it, the lead singer of Casting Crowns. I might have shared this in here before, but man, it speaks to me. He was a worship leader. This was before the band really got big. And he was playing in his little church in Georgia. Well, big church in Georgia, like a huge church. I think they got 2,000 or 3,000 youth. But anyway, he said there was a little old woman on the front row. He said they were jamming. He said she just always sat there like this. And he said, I made it my endeavor that every Sunday she was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. She was going to be filled. I got tired of just seeing her sit there like this. And he goes, man, I played hard. And he goes, I became obsessed about it. So finally one Sunday, she came up to me afterwards and she goes, son, I just want to thank you for how you minister to people through song. She goes, you know what? The whole time you're up there playing, I'm just sitting there praying everything that I know to pray for you, that God will bless you, use you. You're talking about an idiot. Insert mouth, open mouth, insert foot. You know, but when we get our focus on, when it's all about us, we tend to get our views a little bit skewed, don't we? And that's the whole point. We're to serve others, right?
Well, I was just thinking about brother, he had all these years, and you think he never noticed his father's pain.
Amen. Wow.
He never ministered to his father when his father needed him and needed him to come alongside him and hold him up when his heart sore because his son was lost.
Wow. Amen.
And I think that's what we do. We catalog people way too fast.
Amen.
I already got you. No. It's just that we can do that because, once again, it's our perspective.
Amen.
We never run back.
Amen.
Recently, I just became aware of it. That Jesus is the most important person in every one of my peer groups. Then I realized that wasn't enough. Jesus is the center focus of every group I'm in. Well, that's not enough, is it? He's the center of my life. And until He's the center of your life, my life is going to be available to help you see Jesus in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when we start with ourselves, we always end up admitting or estranged, or we, I understand why all these guys here, they're needy people, okay?
Amen.
Not needy them.
Okay? Amen.
You
Amen.
Know how, and that's the lie of that.
Amen.
Amen.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. Amen. We need to be needy. We need to recognize our need of Jesus Christ. Our need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
You know, Bill, it's interesting you point that out. You know, anytime we focus on us and our plight and how bad it is, it's going to continue to get worse because Satan's going to keep on telling you how bad it is. If you look at Jesus as an example, even when He's hanging on the cross dying, He chose to minister to the thief on the left and right. Now, only one accepted Him, but He could have got absorbed in it. He's about to die and, you know, want to throw out a word to His mama and everybody else hears some last word. But He chose to engage somebody and bring them into the kingdom. You know, and He realized He was in the Father's will. You know, and if we're involved in the Father's will, we won't be involved in ours. You know, there may be things happen to us and we may go through things, but if we're focused on what we can do for the kingdom, it won't seem so bad. It'll be worth the key. We'll be counting the cost, but it'll be worth it.
You know, isn't that strange? You know, Scott talked about it last week. Jesus warning us. Count the cost. Make sure you count the cost before you follow me. Otherwise, you're going to start working on that tower and you're going to look like a fool when it's halfway completed. You know, and James warns us. Many of you should become teachers. You know, maybe we need to stop and think this over a little bit. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We
got more lukewarm Christians.
Amen.
That's what He's trying to tell us.
Amen. You know, and it's easy for us to jump around and say, I'm all in. You know, that's a bunch of nonsense. Rubber meets the road when you're out there in life, when you're down in the valley. We all had them mountaintop experiences. Praise God, man. I was rededicated, filled with the Holy Ghost today. Boy, it's going to be on from now on. 6 months later, there you are. Back in the garbage dump, digging around, trying to find that old sin. But he cleans us back up by his grace and his mercy. Puts us back on that road. You know, I've come to, not that I'm some great theologian, but I've come to really understand this. It's just about seeking. That's all it amounts to. About seeking. You know, we love Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody quotes it all the time. But my favorite is 29:13. It says, "You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." When you seek me with all your heart. He just wants us to seek. David, man, as much as he screwed up, and when he did, he screwed up big time. He had a heart after God's own. And that's what matters. If we love him, we'll seek him. If we love him, we'll seek him. Mm-hmm. And as we get ready to pray tonight, the Lord's been putting this on my heart, and I'm going to share it with y'all. And I hope you don't take offense at it. If you would, let's try to be as brief as we can and not share a 3-minute testimony, because we need to be sensitive to other people. And when we start back women's group, we need to be sensitive to them getting out of 7:30. And we need to be out at 7:30. We like to beat our chest and talk about being spiritual leaders, and our butts need to be outside at 7:30. Amen. And set the example of what